Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Just a reminder, Saints, that Jesus promised that as he was persecuted, we also are and will be and are being persecuted. And we're to rejoice in that hour. In fact, I believe we can deduce that if you aren't being slandered, persecuted in some way or the other, you should be very concerned. Jesus says, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you," when everybody loves you, okay? Nobody's persecuting you. "For so did their fathers to" who? "The false prophets." The counterfeits among us do not draw fire from hell, because you see, they're actually plants of hell. They're actually part of hell's kingdom in our midst, and they don't bear the fruit that is always going to be associated with true disciples of Jesus Christ. And one of them is persecution. Jesus says this, beginning in verse 23, Matthew 10, and this chapter is what I call rules of engagement for kingdom living. Matthew chapter 10, I want you to read this chapter this week, and I'm telling you, this is going to help you so much. Jesus says so much in this chapter that relates directly to your life, and especially in this late hour as we look with great anticipation for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus, our Savior, was said to have a devil by the evil religionist of his day. And so they called Jesus a devil, and you think they aren't going to call you a devil? Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 24. I think we read 23. Let's make sure. "But when they persecute you," notice he's talking about persecution, "as you go about your way, doing and obeying God, and as you are going into all the world and preach the gospel." That doesn't mean you have to make a special trip. It just means wherever you're going into the world, you're there to be an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master," that would be Christ, "and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub," another word for Satan, "how much more shall they call them of his household?" That's a rhetorical question to inform us and remind us that as they persecuted Jesus, even calling him Beelzebub or Satan, and calling him a devil or saying he has a devil, they're going to do the same to you and to me. And if they're not doing that to us, it's perhaps a time to examine our hearts to see whether or not we're in the faith. We do have a message, and it is titled 10 Clues. 10 Clues That Your Love for God Has Waxed Cold. I'll post it in this particular post on safeguardyoursoul.com. By the way, while I'm at it, we have a store page on safeguardyoursoul.com. I want to encourage you to avail yourself to the scripture-rich, Christ-centered resources there. We also have a donate page, and We could sure use your prayers and support, saints. They are vital to this operation. So, back to the message. Jesus said, it's in Luke 6:26, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. You ever notice how at ease the false prophets are? And unless a true disciple, of course, is exposing him, he's loved by many. He's telling people what they want to hear. He's not telling them what God says and what they need to hear, which is what God says straight from his word, but they're telling people what they want to hear and using only selected portions of scripture that tickle ears and tickle fancies, if you will. And that's what the Bible says, that we're to preach the word and be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come, and that's where we are now, saints, when they will not endure or hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That means they have unrepentant hearts. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, and they refuse to change by repenting. Notice, this is how we recognize false teachers. One of the ways that we recognize them is that they only talk about love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, the promises of God, never the conditions, by the way. You ever notice that? And all the great things God will do for you. I mean, social media is full of people just peddling out promises that are, they're just putting them out to everybody, you know, indiscriminately, as if God's just trying to bless everyone. God is not going to bless anyone who hasn't repented and isn't presently abiding in Christ on his stated terms, that is, the Bible terms, the terms we have in Holy Scripture. You may want to begin in chapter 14 and read chapter 14 and 15 of the book of John. And Jesus promises that if we abide in him and his word abides in us, that means we abide in him directly in obedience to his word, his terms, not our own or anyone else's. We shall ask what we will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. So false prophets, there's so many today, they talk about love, mercy, forgiveness, grace, the promises of God without the conditions, and all the great things they claim God is getting ready to do for you. They preach a false grace. According to Jude verse 4, we were warned that they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, or a license for sin. Anytime you talk about works or obeying Jesus, they go crazy and call you a legalist who believes in work salvation. But you can't separate the two. The fruit of good works doesn't save anybody. But if you are saved by the grace of God, you're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that you should walk in them. So you know who's saved by really saved by true divine grace, and they have the light of Christ shining through their life, and people are seeing their good works and glorifying not them but the Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. If a person claims to be saved by grace and doesn't have the fruit of good works, that person is a fraud. They're a counterfeit. Okay? He that doeth righteousness is righteous. 1 John 3 would be good to read. So the false teachers will preach this false grace. We hear it spoken of and used in terms such as once in grace, always in grace, once saved, always saved, eternal security, perseverance of the saints. Absolutely false, saints. However, they refuse to talk about God's wrath, eternal judgment, the cross, that is, the crucified life, anger, the anger of God, the severity of God, Romans 11, hellfire, the lake of fire, self-denial, holy living, be ye holy, for I am holy, obedience, laying down your life in this fleeting world, loving not the world. These are things, repentance. You're never going to hear from the false teachers. Okay, and if you're supporting someone like that, you need to repent, because God is going to judge you with them. Ezekiel 14, 10, 2 John verses 10 and 11, etc. You're going to receive a false prophet's reward. And that reward, according to 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, is damnation. Every false teacher and every false prophet is going to hell. Jesus says here in Luke 6, 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Wait a minute. You're blessed when men hate you. Yes. that's what Jesus, King Jesus, King of the Kingdom of Christ, Kingdom of God, has stated here, Luke 6, 22. Blessed are you, you're blessed, when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company. How many people have had that happen to us? All the time, right? They don't want the light that's in you shining into their darkness. So they separate you from their company. You're excluded, you're left out, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil. Wow. Slander you, bear false witness of you. For the Son of Man's sake, they do it because you are Christ's child. Amen. Rejoice. Therefore, what? Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Wow. We need to start celebrating when we get persecuted. That's exactly what he's saying. But brother, how do you do that? Well, let it be, man. Father, we ask you to cause us to do what you said here, Lord Jesus, and to begin to rejoice and to leap for joy, knowing that we are yours, and that the reward you have for us is great in heaven, which we will soon receive as we're with you for all eternity. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 23, Luke 6, another great chapter. Oh, man. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Man, I tell you what. If you're rich in this world, you better be releasing that money to God's people, not the world, not to politics, not to pet projects, but to the body of Christ and to the work of Christ, my friend. Lay up treasure in heaven, ward off, keep at bay greed and covetousness as you hoard that which could be used to further the gospel of Christ and to feed his sheep. Don't be caught with money and treasures and possessions in this world that otherwise could have been used to be a blessing to others, especially and namely, specifically, biblically, the body of Christ. You're going to be standing in the Supreme Court of the universe to testify before the Almighty, to give account for your life and everything you kept in store for your own security, false security. Is going to testify against you in a court of law, James chapter 5. You better consider that, my friend. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. You know, we have teachings on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com, on weeping, on the mourning versus the myrrh, M-Y-R-R-H, I believe it is. I'll post them also at the bottom of this post. That is a revelation out of Ecclesiastes 7. Then he says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Man, when everybody loves you, man, you might want to take a step back, beloved. Examine yourself before God in the mirror of his word. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. Wow. So did their fathers to the false prophets. That's a memory verse. Luke 6 verse 26. Now let's take a look back in Matthew 10 where we began. Notice Jesus told us that we are going to be called all kinds of names. I mean, our name is going to be cast out, slandered just viciously. Luke 6 beginning in verse 22 and then Matthew 10 He says, look, I'm your master, and I was called the master of the house of Beelzebub. Notice, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? You are identified with Christ. He is your sole identity, not some little church organization that you may still be a part of or some place you go on Sunday morning. No, the church is the called out people of God. You can look up the church category on safeguardyoursoul.com, and I'm telling you, that category is absolutely loaded with biblical substance and truth. Amen. So they're going to call us. This is Jesus' promise. Just one of the times he promises us that, man, you're going to be called all kinds of stuff. We need to start going, whoa, this needs to start coming into our memory and go, whoa. The reason why they're doing that is because they have demons. Everybody that's not saved is under the power of the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And so Satan, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Then Jesus says, verse 26, Matthew 10, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. So let this be our main text, Matthew 10, 26 through 28, as we come in for a landing here. Fear not them, therefore, those that persecute you and those that work evil, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. In other words, God sees everything. We see that throughout Scripture, Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Again, God is omnipresent. He sees everything. Jeremiah 23, verse 24, speaking specifically in this entire chapter, Jeremiah 23, wow, what a chapter, about false prophets, false pastors, of which the professing body of Christ is flooded with, to put it lightly. Notice 23:24, Jeremiah, can any man hide himself in secret place? Can these false prophets hide? No. And we're going to help the situation and make it even more difficult for them to hide so that they could have a more of an opportunity to repent. Amen. I'm going to show you that here in a minute as we read this 3-verse text in Matthew 10, 26 through 28. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? The answer is obvious. It's a rhetorical question. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I mean, God made and sustained all that is. He fills it. He sees it all. He sees the very thought and intention of the hearts of all men. Wow. No man can hide himself. Everything that's done in darkness is going to be brought to the light. Every dark deed. That's what he's saying here in Matthew 10:26. And he says, fear them not. Those that persecute you for doing what's right, don't you fear. The righteous are bold as a lion. For don't you be afraid of any of them. That's what we're going to see throughout this passage. We're to be bold as a lion. And God is with us as we dispense his truth and bring light into the darkness. Remember what he told Isaiah 51:7. This is two memory verses here. At least two verses to get very familiar with. Isaiah 51:7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law, my truth. Fear ye not the reproach of men. Don't you fear men when they reproach or persecute you. Neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Do not be afraid. Fear not. And then verse 12, Isaiah 51. I am he that comforteth you. He's talking to you and I as his children. Who art thou? I'm your comforter, man. Who are you? that you shouldest be afraid of a man, a mere man, made of dust, that shall die, and the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? I mean, what can he do to you? Jesus said, behold, I've given you power. After, just immediately after you said that Satan was cast from heaven, Luke 10:18-19, he said, I give unto you, my people, my children, power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, all of it, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. That's a verse along with Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1, that believers, like no other time in history today, believers today, should be memorizing, and of course, out of the King James Bible. So he says right here in Isaiah 51:7, 12, and 13, that when we fear man, we have forgotten God. You know, that's why David could go with such boldness and in holy impunity, if you will. Do those words go together? I don't know. Somebody can critique that, and as somebody that's an expert in English, I'm certainly not. Okay, so David was fellowshipping with the Lord. You know, the closer you get to God, the less room there is for the devil or anybody else to come in between, you know. And Jesus prayed that we'd be one with him and the Father and one with each other in the body of Christ. That was the John 17 prayer, the Lord's prayer. That was his prayer for us. It's a great thing to pray every morning. I pray that over myself and many others that are on my list every morning, that God would make us one with him and one with one another. Amen. And when we are, we're going to be like David, who fellowshiped with the Lord and who oversaw the sheep in the pasture. He worshiped, he sang, he walked with God. He was abiding in Christ, John 15. And hearing the voice of the great shepherd, John 10. And when he saw what Goliath was doing, he was bold as a lion, Proverbs 28:1. The righteous are bold as a lion. Why? Because they're in fellowship. They're in vital union, present fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd who created everything and is over all. And so they don't forget their maker when it comes to being persecuted by mere man and devils. That's what God puts together right here in Isaiah 51:12-13. They forgot their maker. You know, the Bible says those that forget the Lord, the nations, they're going to be cast into hell. Remember, the fearful are going to be the first class of sinners going into the lake of fire, Revelation 21:8. Wow. So God is telling us some things here in his word, saints. And he's telling us that if we fear man, if we're afraid of man, quote unquote, verse 12, Isaiah 51, it's because we have forgotten our maker. We're not in vital, intimate union with him that comes only from fellowship, the reading of his word, and the seeking the Lord in praise and in prayer and thanksgiving, and walking in fellowship with other believers, and letting the word of Christ dwell in you individually and as a body richly. Hallelujah. Like the early church did, and they were fearless, and they swept the known world with the gospel. They went everywhere preaching the word. All of them did. Acts 8:4, when persecution hit Jerusalem, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8:4, also the next chapter, Acts 9:31, they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That's a key. If you want comfort and peace, you got to fear the Lord. When you fear him, you'll never fear any man. And that's what he's talking about here. Don't fear man. If you do, that indicates that you have forgotten your maker. Also, Isaiah 2:22 tells us to cease from being, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Man, what a picture that is, right? Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted? Of no, how does mere man even register? He doesn't when you have your eyes on the Almighty. And that's what David had. He sought the Lord relentlessly. Remember, David is the only man in the Word of God that is said to be a man after God's own heart. Acts 13:22. What an example David is to us. And we have the record of his life. We have it on record in Holy Scripture. And that's why he was able to go up to Goliath fearlessly. And, you know, his brothers, who were not in close communion with the Lord and were not chosen, they were passed over by the prophet when he was choosing the new king for Israel. And notice they basically ran to the Lord when Goliath was taunting them and saying, Lord, you know, kind of with their fingernails in their mouth, saying, Lord, look how big he is. But when David stepped up, little David, probably a teenager, he saw what Goliath was doing and taunting and mocking God and his people. And he basically said, in other words, to the giant, he didn't run to God. He was already in fellowship with God. But he looked that giant square in the eyes, and he didn't hesitate to say, I'm going to show you how big my God is, boy. He was not even slightly intimidated or in fear of that giant, because he knew God, and God is the Almighty. He is the Most High. There's no one on his level. Isn't that what it says? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. The Bible speaks of man being in his very best state, altogether vanity. I believe that's Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5. Let's bounce back and finish in our main text here. I'm going to read it through, and then we're going to summate it. Matthew 10:26-28. Jesus is teaching us. This is his kingdom rules of engagement, I call it. Matthew 10. There's so many in here. Fear them not, therefore, verse 26-28. Fear not them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, preach ye upon the housetops. What I'm showing you and revealing to you by my Spirit and word, the entrance of his word giveth light, right? Psalm 119, 130. So that's what he's talking about here. What I tell you in darkness, and that is in the secret place of your heart, what are you to do with it? That speak ye in the light. Okay, bring it out before everybody. Well, remember Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove or expose them. Good one to memorize, Ephesians 5:11. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what uncover it, bring it out of the darkness, put it into the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that is in your heart, what I show you, that preach, declare it upon the housetops. And then what? And fear not them which kill the body. Don't you fear anybody but me, in other words. David's prayer in Psalm 86:11 is so much of a blessing for us to pray right now. Let's pray it together, saints. It's a Bible prayer. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that you're going to join me to pray as did David. Lord, unite our hearts to fear thy name, O God. Unite our hearts to fear thy name in Jesus' name. All right, verse 28, Matthew 10, and fear not them which kill the body. Man, what can they do other than kill you and send you into eternal bliss with Jesus? Graduating in the glory, man. How can they hurt you? All they can do is send you on, if God allows them to. And I believe we know from Scripture that our days are numbered. God knows when he wants you with him. And no man can take your life unless God chooses to allow him. And fear not them. These are several reasons why we should never fear man. The fear of man bringeth a snare, right? I believe it's Proverbs 29:25. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. No man can kill a soul. A soul is eternal. God says all souls are mine. Ezekiel 18:4. So they can kill your body, but not your soul, he informs us here. But rather fear him, that's God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And this is a reference to enduring to the end and never denying the Lord. Those who deny him will be denied by him. Jesus promised us repeatedly in the Gospels. Okay, so in summation, as we close in this passage, Matthew 10:26-28, Jesus instructed us to know that he's going to bring all darkness, every dark deed, and even every dark motive, an evil doer into the light. Verse 26. That's a summation. Verse 27. He told us when he reveals something to us. You ever notice? Well, God will put something in your spirit. You know, all these false flag school shootings. Man, before I even have the evidence, many times it's like that right there. Or that's crisis actors. That is a demonic false flag right there. If you don't know about false flags and crisis actors, they are a reality. The devil's children tried to cover that in. Here we are, right here, verse 26. Keep that covered. It's coming out into the light. Why? Because witnesses are telling on the devil and his dark human agents who are perpetrating these things on the people of America in order to try to make us defenseless by taking our guns from us. And while I'm at it, let me just say this. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Proverbs 3:33. Wait a minute, brother. Are you pronouncing a curse on the wicked? I'm quoting the word of God. God pronounces a curse on the wicked. And I do pray with that word. Proverbs 3:33, that the curse of the Lord is on in the house of the wicked, that he would cause that curse to fully explode on these unrepentant animals in Jesus' name. So memorize Proverbs 3:33. Memorizing scripture, saints, places a violent, divine weapon of warfare in your hand. It's called the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Ephesians 6:17. So Jesus tells us that he's going to bring all darkness to the light. We've all been praying, a bunch of us, about that because we see the evil around us. And we've been praying and God is bringing it to the light. I mean, every day. You can't even keep up with it if you even try to, which you don't necessarily need to do. So many things are coming to the light. We also need to pray for justice to come upon these evildoers. Amen. And then he told us in verse 27, I want you to shout it from the housetops. Tell on these animals. What are they going to do to you? Kill you, verse 28? And then you're just coming home with me? Don't fear them. You fear me, and I sent you to expose them. Amen. That's a good summation right there. Expose it fearlessly. The dark deeds of evil men, the guilty ones, are going to persecute you, but I want you to expose their dark deeds. Shout it from the housetop. Amen. How's it going to come to justice if it doesn't first come to the light? God bless you, friends. I'm glad we had these moments together, and I pray right now in the name of Jesus that God would unite your heart, my beautiful brother and sister, to fear his holy name, and that he would multiply your grace, his grace, in your heart, and establish your heart with the grace of God in the peace of God that passes all understanding in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.